RadioMD.com.
On now, Health Radio. Here's your host, Melanie Cole.
There are so many millions of Americans of all ages and genders, really, that suffer from eating disorders. Millions more suffer from disordered eating. This relationship to food, it's a terrible relationship. It's marked by compulsive eating and then restricting your calories. Is it possible to break free of this self-destructive cycle of shame, body hatred? We give ourselves such negative self-talk every morning, we women. We look in the mirror and we just say these mean things that we would never say to other people, and we say them to ourselves. My guest today is author Sarah Joy Marsh, here to talk about this negative body image. Welcome to the show, Sarah Joy. So tell us a little bit about how you're defining unhealthy weight and this whole relationship to why we feel about our bodies the way we do.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. As a yoga therapist, I've studied yoga and also Ayurveda, which is the sister science of yoga, and interpersonal neurobiology, and I've prior to that a master's in counseling. When I look at unhealthy weight, to respond directly to your question, I'm looking through the lens of Ayurveda. Each person has a body constitution, and a certain body composition goes with that. They're called vata, pitta, and kapha. And a person's unhealthy weight is if it's in excess to their base constitution or their original genetic composition. So I don't look at it through the lens of the Western media or marketing engines, but at each person's health, their primary health.
Okay, so what do we notice within ourselves? What do we see that might signal that we've got these issues with this negative body image? Do we even notice it ourselves, or is it something that people notice? Oh, because we always say something. Oh, yeah, well, if I'd buy those pants if my tush didn't look so bad in them, or my thighs weren't so fat, or if I could only get this last 15 pounds off. I mean,
right.
What might we notice?
Right, it's very heavily conditioned, so actually noticing that you have a quote-unquote problem with your body image, you have to notice it outside the lens of conditioning and advertising. And the common conversation women have about their bodies is just like you're displaying there. But if we have an internal sense that this is painful, ongoing, highly self-critical, never good enough, there's always the extra 5, 10, or 15 pounds to be arguing with, and it consumes enough of our mental space that it's affecting our relationships, our work, our sense of capacity in the world, I would call that a problem.
Yeah, so I mean, just with any addiction, really it's whatever starts to affect your daily life and really mess with the quality of your life. So what do you want people to do? How can we break this cycle? You know, the negative self-talk, what we do to ourselves, really worse than what we would ever say to anybody else.
Yeah. Well, in my book, I teach people what I call essential life skills. And one of those life skills is called moving from love, not shame. And the inner dialogue most people have about their bodies when they have a body image issue, it's highly driven by shame. The thoughts are shame-based. The commentary is shame-based. The dialogue and argument people are having with themselves is based in shame. So one of the recommendations I make is, first of all, to see that was conditioned. It wasn't your native way to talk to yourself. It's not the most natural human experience, but it got conditioned and then it got habituated again and again and again. And if we can shift from shame towards appreciation or towards even basic self-respect, we're going to start the turn from shame to love. Most people don't make a big leap right to love if they've been occupied by shame. So we start with smaller steps like appreciation and self-respect.
How do we start with those? How do you learn to appreciate yourself? How do you learn to respect yourself if you're somebody that's either been made to feel throughout your life that you just weren't up to par, or that your weight was just a little bit too much, or that how can that change without some serious therapy?
Yeah, well, I do think therapy is recommended, actually, but there are three things somebody can do in the immediate moment. This is based on yoga therapy. So one of those is, when you're moving the body about in space, recognize that some underlying incredible intelligence is making that possible. Like nerve endings are firing, fingernails are growing themselves right now, the eyes blink themselves, the liver's doing the liver job, and this whole underlying intelligence is operating on your behalf. So coming to appreciate that is one step in the process. A second one would be recognizing that the conversation about shame is far more prevalent than we realize, and we are not alone. Developing compassion for somebody else's shame dialogue is one step in developing compassion for ours. And then the practice of self-respect would be the moment you take a deep breath in and the diaphragm resumes breathing your body, your brain chemistry actually shifts from fight or flight down to relaxation response. So a deep breath is, like I like to call it, a radical rebellion against the marketing industry that tells us to hold the stomach in so that we, quote unquote, look better. But that deep breath is a sign of self-respect and acceptance. And because it changes brain chemistry, it's actually more powerful than just cognition. It's also physiological.
Well, so I hear what you're saying, because I'm an exercise physiologist, and when people say to me, oh, well, when I breathe like that, my stomach goes out, I don't want it to look like that, or I hear this all the time. So, you know, and I say to them, but that's not what's happening. Your diaphragm is filling, and your muscles are contracting, and this is what's going to happen. It's how our bodies work. And then I always explain, if you watch a little baby breathe, that that's exactly what you see, and little babies aren't worried about their image and, you know, what it looks like. So I tell people, watch a little baby breathe, put your hand on their stomach, watch what happens, you know, and that does seem to sort of, you know, kind of connect a little bit. So what about the shame? You've talked about breathing and cognition and all of these things, but what about getting over in the therapy, that feeling of shame? Do you tell people to stop looking around at the media? Cut it out with looking at the magazines and these airbrushed women, and that none of us should aspire to try and be like that. It's just too much.
Yeah. In fact, I do recommend that people practice what I call limiting your exposure. You limit your exposure to what the media is suggesting and or the magazines that come to your home with unrealistic images on them, but also limit our exposure to those TV or movie programs that we're watching that have unrealistic representations of women and or men. And limit exposure to those kinds of conversations that overstimulate your shame dialogue. So after a period of refuge from that kind of onslaught, we actually can start to hear ourselves being willing to consider love more than shame. And the first step is willingness. And sometimes I have to tell my students, if they're not willing, could you consider the possibility of becoming willing someday? If it's not today, maybe you'll be willing tomorrow. Or a week from tomorrow, but let's consider the possibility of change.
Does that work? Do they from the speaking and, you know, all of these things, does that work? Do you see change in people, asking them to consider the possibility? Because it's been my experience working with people with disordered eating for 25 years that it takes sometimes a little bit more digging, a little bit more, you know, what works for you?
Yeah, the way I see it working, there are several things that influence whether the dynamic is going to be moving in the direction of healing or not. And one of those is somebody's willingness to consider change. But one of those is also my capacity to see the potential in them, to see their essential nature, not their disordered patterns, to see that in them which is already love and already whole and already capable. And as I'm reflecting that back, that's a very powerful act of medicine.
Now, we're just out of time, Sarah Joy. So just tell people where they can find your book, Hunger, Hope, and Healing, A Yoga Approach to Reclaiming Your Relationship to Your Body and Food.
Yeah, they can go to sarahjoyyoga.com. That's two Y's, sarahjoyyoga.com, or amazon.com for the book.
Thank you so much. You know, we all have to re-look at and reconnect with our bodies, learn to appreciate and respect ourselves. That's huge. Learn to respecting yourself will go a long way to learning to respect others and having others in turn respect you. You're listening to Radio MD. The show is Health Radio. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.